welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Well, thank you for tuning into the broadcast again this week, and we're glad that you're with us. We want to pick things up here in John chapter 6, verse number 28. This group that is following with the Lord, they're seeking the free lunch. The Lord challenges them about that. They enjoyed the spectacle of the miracles, but then when the Lord did a miracle that provided them food and sustenance, and that was easy, and that they were able to eat until they were filled. Remember that. They were able to eat till they were completely and totally stuffed and satisfied. They followed the Lord back up to Capernaum in any means that they were able to find. The Lord challenges them, don't labor for meat that perisheth. You put so much effort into that, but you need to labor for that meat which endureth. So the need of your soul is greater than just food that you can eat with your mouth that your body needs. Your need is greater than that. You need salvation from the Lord. It's the Son of Man that shall give it unto you. We read over in John 5 where the Lord says that a time is coming. He that hears has everlasting life and is not in condemnation. And the hour is coming that the dead, those that are spiritually dead, will hear the voice of the Lord in His Word, what He speaks. And so He challenges them, and they come back, is what they say in verse 28 of John 6. They, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Okay, oh, okay, you're challenging us about not working. Okay, what can we do that we can work the works of God here? You know, we're not freeloaders. We're not wanting to do that. And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. This is the labor of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. I'll tell you what, this is an amazing passage. It's a small or short passage. But it is an amazing passage, and it has there's two meanings that are here in this passage, I believe, and it speaks to us of two different things. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. But number one, the first meaning in this is that is the work of God. As it says, it's very simple. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. The Lord told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, ye must be born again. And in birth, as you and I have we've talked about and mentioned in the past, we don't have anything to do with our birth. You and I didn't choose our name. We didn't choose who we would be born to. We didn't choose when we would be born. We didn't choose what country we would be born in. We didn't choose the time of the existence of mankind. We didn't choose the time in which we were born. We had nothing to do with our birth. We didn't. The Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He goes on and tells him, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God, to enter the kingdom of God, and that the Spirit of God is like unto the wind. We see the effects of the wind, but we do not see the wind. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but knoweth not whence it cometh, and knoweth not whence it goeth. So is it everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. We're birthed by the Spirit of God. This is the work of God, that he would move with his Spirit, that he would bring his Word, he would convict with his Spirit, and he would work and save sinners' souls. We are dead. We are naturally dead. And we need a Savior. And Jesus is the only one. And only by the moving of the Spirit of God, the preaching of his Word, and that effectual calling of the Lord can sinners be saved. That's the first the one meaning of this passage, is that it is the work of God to save sinners, and that they might believe on him whom he has sent, whom the Father has sent, the Son that he sent, that he might be the one that sinners would believe on. The second meaning is this, is that you and I as sinners, we have a responsibility to obey God. And that what the Lord has commanded is that, as it says in the book of Acts, that men repent towards God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're commanded to do so. It's not an option. It's not a a potential hobby or sideline that we can pick up if we desire. This life is not ours. This life that we have been blessed with is not ours. It belongs to God. Mankind, men and women, have been created to honor and glorify God. That's the purpose for our creation. And we are commanded to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work of God, that we believe in His Savior, not another. Not another. And we are responsible to do so. You that are here under the hearing of my voice, in this broadcast, you are responsible before God to repent of your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the command of God, and that is the work of God. This is the work of God, verse 29, that you believe on Him whom He, the Father, hath sent. There's not salvation in any other way, any other God. There's only salvation found in Jehovah God by His Son, Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith in Him. Verse number 30. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? So now, we want to know if you're credible or not. We want to know if we can really believe you and trust you. What are you going to show us? What are you going to reveal to us to make us know that what you're saying is true and is right? You know, we need a sign. The Lord says in the Gospels that a sinful and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Signs were given early on in the church. At the beginning of the church, when the Lord built His church, signs were given early on. To show, as the Lord said in the miracles there in Matthew and in Luke, that the reason for the miracles was to show that Jesus had the power to save a sinner's souls. But signs don't continue on. They've ceased. They're done. And an adulterous and sinful generation does sink after a sign, rather than just hearing, simply hearing and believing what God has said, what He has breathed, His Word, His Logos, as it says, as it is in the Greek. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? You talking to us about work. What's your work? They challenge the Lord. They go on here and they're kind of baiting Him for what they want. Verse 31, Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So, they want a sign, and what do you say? Guess what the sign that they want is? They want Him to bring them some more food. If you'll feed us again, we'll believe you. You know what? In the Lord's service and the Lord's work in His churches, it's interesting how it is with man, that we want and we seek to gain people. And I'm just speaking generally, gain people by means other than that which was ordained by the Lord. Whatever you get somebody to come to church with, say, is what you're going to have to keep them with. And so if it's going to be meals, that's what you're going to have to keep them with. If it's going to be clowns and puppet shows and such as that, that's what you're going to have to keep them with. If it's going to be dramas and such as that, which there's some places that's not a bad thing, but in the operation of a church and the ministering of a church to community and region, those don't need to be the hallmarks and the first things that we have that we offer to the world, showing of movies and such as that. If that's how you gain people, that's how you're going to keep people. It's the only way you're going to be able to keep them. But what the Lord has ordained, that sinners hear the Lord and His Word. And when folks are saved and they're added to the Lord's church by hearing of the Word of God, you know what? That'll keep them. And they'll be there in good times, and they'll be there in troublesome and difficult times, because it's the Word of the Lord, and their love for their Savior, and the love of the Savior for them that they're so in awe of, that's what will keep them. They say to the Lord, what kind of work do you do? Moses gave our fathers manna in the desert. What is it that you work? Verse 32. And then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. He says, Fellas, you're mistaken. It wasn't Moses that brought the manna down. Don't attribute that to Moses, because it wasn't Moses that brought the manna down, but it was rather God in heaven that provided the manna. You want me to work a work, you try to leverage me with what Moses did, or what you say Moses did, but understand, it wasn't Moses that did that, but it was the Father that did that. And you know what? It is the Father now, but my Father, verse 32 in the latter part, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Beyond manna, there is a better bread. Beyond manna, there is a bread that will endure unto salvation. And that bread is the Lord. He's going to tell us about that. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true bread from heaven. Do you remember how it was in the scripture with the manna? They were instructed to collect each day what they needed. And if they collected more for a day, then the next day it was rotten. Worms were in it. It was corrupted and filthy and unusable. But then on the sixth day of the week, they were commanded to collect for 2 days. Why? Because not even God was going to bring down manna on the Sabbath day. On the seventh day of rest, the Lord was going to refrain from bringing manna that down that day. And so on Friday, they were told to collect 2 days' worth. And you know what happened? Those that collected it, 2 days' worth on Friday, come Saturday, what was in the pot, it didn't rot. And then those that didn't collect and went out seeking for it on the Sabbath day, they didn't find any. But then come Monday again, when the Lord brought manna and they collected too much, it was rotten on Tuesday. Because the Lord brought that bread, but it was a bread that was for the sustaining of the flesh. But the true bread is the bread that sinners need. The Lord's fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes to bring them to a point and show them the truth that that's not the bread that they need, but they need that spiritual bread that is the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it with you? How is it with you? Have you partook of that true bread from heaven? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Do you believe that He suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again for you that day some 2,000 years ago? For your sins, for your justification, for your need? You need the true bread. Every sinner needs the true bread. And that is Jesus Christ. Well, see that our time is past for now. May the Lord bless you with His Word and His truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.